So here's what I want to do. It's our last week. We're going through the last verse. Let's just read Psalm 23 as we begin. Let's just read it in its entirety, okay? It should be on your handout. If you grabbed a handout, you should see that on your handout. Or if you have your Bible, Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's begin by just making this clear. And really, as we just read through that, Psalm 23 begins with the shepherd beside us, and it ends with the believer forever with him. It ends with the believer forever with him. What if I asked you this question? What if I asked you, what does your future look like? What does your future look like? How would you answer that question? I feel like posing that question, I think most people would immediately think temporary things. Like our temporary future. Like what does my week look like? What does the next month look like? What does the next year look like? What does the next season look like? What most of us would probably think in terms of something that's temporary. And so, look, we make plans and we have these ideas about what is coming around the corner, and sometimes we're right and sometimes we're wrong. But when we think temporarily, it's always up in the air. You can make your plans, but you never know for sure exactly what's going on. So do we know for sure what's in our future? I don't know. Are we talking temporary? Are we talking eternal? And so what David does is he shifts our attention to the eternal. But so many of us, if we're just being honest, we come in here tonight and so many of us feel like our future just feels, it feels uncertain. It feels uncertain. We don't know. We worry about all sorts of things. We worry about finances. We worry about our health. We worry about our children. We worry about our grandchildren. We worry about just the state and the direction of the world in which we live in. Like, we worry about all the things that are going on all around us and all the things that are going on all around the world. We worry about all those things and all these things that are, most of them are out of our control. We worry about aging, unless you're younger, and then you don't worry about that. But when you get to a certain age and you start worrying about aging, right? We start doing all the things. And so, but we may know what today holds, but we have no idea what tomorrow may bring. I was thinking about how, Monday I woke up and I had a plan. I had my day planned out. I had lots of things that I needed to accomplish throughout the day. I had it all lined out. These were things that needed to get done. And have you ever had a day that just does not go anything like you hoped or expected? In every single, I mean literally everything, you can't touch anything without it breaking or something going wrong. That, we don't have time for me to walk you through all the things that transpired on my day Monday. We don't have time because it's a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And I was like, there came a point, I was not frustrated early on when my mower broke. So I had Monday off, okay? So I got all these things I'm going to do around the house. When my mower broke, I really wasn't frustrated. That's just one thing. And so, you know, I'm going to fix it. And then I can't fix it. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to weed eat the entire backyard. Okay, well, now the weed eater's not working. So it just, I mean, it's just, look, it was a nightmare. That one thing after another thing after another thing. And so at first I'm like, okay, well, it's no big deal. I'll get this fixed. And then about three or four or five things in, I'm like, starting to get a little frustrated. And then about six or seven things in, I'm like, okay, this is kind of funny. right? And I chose not to laugh. But then I realized my wife and I were meeting her dad for dinner. And I thought, I don't know how comfortable I feel getting behind the wheel of a vehicle tonight. I'm like, I really don't know if it's a good idea for me to drive. There's going to be other people on the road. And the way this day's going, this is not a good idea. But I'm like, okay, here we go, Lord. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm literally going 30 miles an hour. And I'm just looking around me everywhere. Like, I'm looking over my shoulder in every direction. Every direction. So then, you know, I had to leave the house later than I expected to. I still had things I needed to get done. Look, I went to Sam's, and I ran into Frankie. Some lady was clearing the path for the forklift, and man, I was like, okay, I'm getting out the way, okay? She made it very clear, move or get run over. And I'm like, okay, I get it, move. And so we're at the back of Sam's. I'm getting some things. I'm like, okay, I can get in here and get out in 10 minutes. So, I mean, I literally had like 5 things to get in and out. Where did the forklift go? The aisle that I needed to go to. The aisle. And so I walked over, and Frankie's blocking the aisle. He's like, you don't want to go down there. You do not want to face her. Do not go down there. And so we're sitting there and we're talking, and I don't know, about 5 minutes in, he says, usually it doesn't take this long. And I said, no. Today it does. Today it does. And we're sitting there. At some point, he thought he could hide behind the forklift and go down and grab what I needed. And he started to run down there, and the lady at the other end gave him what for. So he ran back real quick. And I mean, literally, they're pulling stuff off. Then they got to get a... So the 10-minute trip, I spent 10 minutes waiting to go down that aisle. And so I left out of there. Here's really the point in all of that, is that I literally laid my head on the pillow that night, and I was like, Lord, thank you that this day is over. and I thought and I prayed. I'm like, Lord, will tomorrow be better? You know what I mean? And I felt this uncertainty of what the future may hold. But Psalm 23 teaches us that when Jesus leads your life, the future is never something to fear. When the shepherd leads your life, the future is never something to fear. And so David isn't one of what we see is, and I left Jesus out of that slide, but which is probably a bad move, but when Jesus is with us, when he's leading our lives, the future's never something to fear. And David's not speaking like a man who's terrified of tomorrow. That's not how David is speaking in this text here. He's not a man who's been defeated by the valleys in which he's walked through. This is a voice of a man who knows he has a shepherd. He knows that his shepherd is looking out for and caring for him, that he's been leading him all along. And this language is one of confidence and is one of certainty. And this shepherd leads with diligence and intentionality and consistency and care. And so the very first word in our text tonight, in verse 6, he says, surely, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But he says, surely, there's this certainty of God's care and this settled assurance. There's no question about whether or not God's goodness and mercy follows. There's no question. It's surely, it's certainty. And Christians can and should live with confidence that our good shepherd is with us. That, again, when we focus on the temporary is always up in the air. We never know. We can have our plans, but we never know. But there are things that we can know for sure. And so Christians can and should live with this confidence that our good shepherd is with us, and that's what we know for sure. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Well, why? Because you are with me. Because you are with me, right? And so we can live in confidence because he's with us. And so he doesn't equate this assurance or this confidence in the present things that he's experiencing. He's not saying you're with me when things are good and you're not with me when things are bad. And the things that we're experiencing are evidence of your presence or evidence of your presence not being there. That's not what he's saying, right? And so he says, surely. And then he says, your goodness and your mercy shall follow me. So no matter what comes our way, we can be certain that goodness and mercy will always be in the picture for his people. That goodness and mercy are always in the equation. There's never a time that that's not true. So if I ask you, what does your future look like, child of God? See, when I asked you that question, you immediately started thinking about maybe you've got a trip planned. Maybe you've got something going on with your family. Maybe you've got this. Maybe you've got that. You started thinking about temporary things. If I ask you what your future looks like, child of God, what does it look like? It looks like God's goodness and mercy following you. 100%. Does not matter what you experience. Doesn't matter what tomorrow looks like. Doesn't matter if your mower breaks. Doesn't matter if you get in a wreck. Doesn't matter what is at the other end of the phone call. Like, doesn't matter. Surely his goodness and mercy will follow you everywhere, right? So what does your future look like? God's goodness and mercy raining down on you. That's what your future looks like. So God's goodness is this love and this care and this provision that he has for us. His mercy is withholding what we deserve. Us not getting what we deserve and him extending grace to us instead. And every single step we take is evidence of both of those things. Evidence of his goodness and evidence of his mercy, regardless of our circumstances. The Master's loving hands are leading us every step of the way. Every step of the way. And so this picture of following, when he says, surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me. When you look at the original language, it's this picture of pursuing, of chasing after. Of chasing after. Pursuing us in such a way that's chasing after. So God's goodness and his mercy is chasing after us all the days of our lives. On the good days, on the bad days, when we're walking with him, when we're trying to, you know, go off into other fields, and when we're, his goodness and his mercy is always chasing after us all the days of our life. What that tells us is that God never gives up on us. God never gives up on you. Amen. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on us, right? And you know what else this tells me? This tells me that God doesn't expect perfection from us. Like, just let that settle in. Now, we know that. We know we can't be perfect, but we feel like we have to be perfect. And we feel like when we're not, that God is disappointed in us. But you know what the Bible tells us? That his goodness and mercy, it follows us. That he understands we're going to need his mercy. When? All the time. All the time. We're going to need his mercy. I made this point several weeks ago, but let's unpack it and let's add a couple things to it. So I made the point. I said, God doesn't shame your limitations. He shepherds you through them. That was the point that I made. God doesn't shame us for our limitations. He shepherds you through them. But he shepherds us through them with goodness and with mercy. If we could be perfect, we wouldn't need mercy. He understands. He understands. We need his mercy. We need his mercy. His mercy meets us in our shame. Like, he meets us there, and he extends his mercy to us. And if you go back to the conversation that we had this past Sunday, this idea of God's grace and his mercy, like, does that mean that, you know, that's just a dangerous concept or idea, this grace and mercy? Like, that's dangerous thought, because then people are just going to take advantage of God's grace. Well, when we think of it through terms of relationship, and again, the point is that Christianity is a relationship. There's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. There's a relationship. And when the shepherd extends grace and mercy, what that doesn't cause me to want to take advantage of that, that leads me to want to walk in greater obedience. That's what happens. So surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Not some days, not just on good days, not on easy days, all the days. That means the good days, the hard days, the confusing days, the final days, all the days. There's never a day that the believer is outside the reach of God's goodness. Stop and think about that. There's never a day that a believer is outside the reach of God's goodness. Think of this, and I know we've talked about this over and over again, but think of this through the lens of sheep and shepherd. Okay, so what does this practically look like when you're talking about sheep? Right? What does it mean? And I'll say this too, before we even get into this. Just because there's never a day that the believer is outside the reach of God's goodness does not mean that we don't experience things like discipline. Do you think a shepherd disciplines his sheep? Do you think he reins them in? Does he do things in order to protect them and care for them? Does he? But stop and think through the lens. Sheep have, you know what sheep don't know? They don't know what's coming. They don't know what's coming. They have no clue. They have no clue what the future holds. All they know is what's right in front of them. Wherever it is that the good shepherd has led them. And so they don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're going up a mountainside. They don't know why they're going down a mountainside. They don't know why they're in the valley. They don't know why it's storming out and the shepherd's still leading them through the storm. They don't know why they're tired and they need to rest and they want to lay down, but the good shepherd's still leading them. They have no clue as to the reason why they're doing the things that they're doing. They have no clue. None whatsoever. All they know is that there's a good shepherd. And there's never been a time that shepherd hasn't cared for them. That shepherd hasn't led them faithfully. That even though there were times of discipline, they'd know looking back, okay, well, the shepherd knew what was at stake. He knew things that they didn't know. They figure out that, hey, if I wander off, it looks good to go wander off over there and eat from that field or whatever, but then I'm out from underneath my shepherd's care. So the point is sheep don't understand everything that's going on all the time. And that's the world in which we live in. We don't always understand those things. And so just think with me for just a minute. Think about some of your most difficult days. And just think about in those times how limited our understanding is to what's really going on. To what's really going on. And how hard it is for our finite human minds to really put things in perspective and grasp everything that's going on. See, there's an infinite shepherd who is at work in the things that we can't see, in the things that we could never comprehend. And here's our natural tendency. Our natural tendency is to worry. Our natural tendency is to ask why. Our natural tendency is to doubt. Our natural tendency is to bolt. Right? Our natural tendency is to panic. Our natural tendency is try to grasp at control. Our natural tendency is everything except what it should be, which is looking to the shepherd to lead us through whatever it is that we're facing. We have an all-knowing shepherd who knows exactly what he's doing, exactly where he's going. He knows all the things that we may never know. And here's what I thought about. It's crazy that I say this, but I've been a believer for 25 years now. I've been walking with God for almost 25 years, which is shocking to say. But you know what I've seen over those 25 years? And for any of you who have walked with God for any period of time, you know what I'm talking about. You have seen God's faithfulness in so many amazing ways. In so many amazing ways. And over the course of those 25 years, I have seen some of the greatest evidences of God's goodness and His mercy following me all the days of His lives. Now, did I understand it? I mean, most of the time, the places that I saw the greatest evidences were oftentimes in the most difficult of seasons and places, right? And so the times that I felt most helpless, the times that were most difficult or dark in my life, I can remember there were times where Suzanne and I are literally completely overwhelmed and we're just sitting on our kitchen floor sobbing. All we can do is cry and pray and hug each other. That's all we got. That's all we got. But golly, did we see God's goodness and mercy in those situations. We saw His hand and His faithfulness. And those situations were oftentimes the most transformational in our lives. It's the moments in which I experienced Him in such a way that I didn't experience Him in any other way. And so what's that for you? Like, what are some of those experiences for you? Like, what are these times and these places where you've been there, where it's just the most difficult? And yet, you look back and you're able to see God's goodness in all of that. In His mercy and His hand on the whole situation. That you saw His goodness and His mercy up close and personal in a way that you maybe have never experienced before in your life. And hear me when I say this. What I'm not saying is that every one of those situations worked out the way I wanted it. Not saying that. I'm not saying that it passed as quickly as I would have liked. Not saying that. I'm saying that the Good Shepherd was with me in a way that I never experienced in any other way. There were these moments where He picked me up and He put me on His shoulders and He carried me along the way. And His goodness and His mercy was chasing after me. And that's the promise. That's the gift. And then, look, I just spent some more time thinking. I've been thinking about this week. I thought about how, so 25 years, the longer I've walked with God, I just started thinking, like, and Suzanne and I have had this conversation. It's like, the difficult things that we face now, they don't rattle us like they used to. They still affect us. I'm not saying that hard things aren't hard. I'm not saying that at all. But we don't come unraveled. We don't, like, we're not, they don't affect us in the same way in which they did at one time. And so it just got me thinking, well, like, what is it? Is my heart just getting harder? You know what I mean? Am I, like, I'm just getting tougher? It's like, I don't care as much as I used to. What is it that's going on? And this is what, as I was preparing for this message, this is what I just settled in. I'm like, you know what it is? I've seen God's goodness and mercy in such a clear way in so many times in the past. You know what I know is going to happen? My Good Shepherd's going to be with me. And His goodness and His mercy is going to follow me. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know, but I do know this. I know He's going to be with me. I know His goodness and His mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. That I do know. And so when I encounter these things, now it's like, okay, well, it's hard. I don't like it, but it doesn't undo me. It shouldn't undo us. And so, look, the longer we walk with God, the more evident that becomes. And we're able to look back and to see those things. And we're able to embrace the things that He puts in front of us with just greater confidence. Not in our ability to handle those things, but greater confidence in the One who's with us. Yeah. And the reality that His goodness and His mercy is with us. That's who He is. That's what He does. And so I can rest in His ability to do the best thing in any given situation because I've seen Him do the best thing over and over again in my life. I can rest in that. I can rest because I've seen Him do the best thing. I've seen Him do the best thing. And so we hear David saying these things. I thought about this week we've been reading through 1 Samuel and I was reading in chapter 22, and look, David's on the run. He's on the run for his life. Saul is after him. He wants to kill him. He's chasing him down. He won't stop until he's dead. And what is it that David says in 1 Samuel 22:3? And David went from there to Mizpah to Moab, of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother stay here with you so I can figure out if God's going to be with me and do something for me. No. Till I know what God will do for me. I have no doubt God's going to show up. I have no doubt that His goodness and His mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I don't know what He's doing. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know what we're going to have to do to endure this. I don't know how we're going to get through. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that God is going to do something. I just need to wait on Him to lead me wherever it is He wants to lead me to do whatever it is He wants me to do. But I know it's coming, right? And so we see this just David just understands. It's not if. There's this confidence. It's this confidence. And so an important point, I think, too, is this. Is that just as God's goodness and mercy flow to me, grace and mercy should follow in my wake wherever I go. So if His goodness and mercy follow us, then shouldn't we be leaving footprints of grace and goodness and mercy wherever we go? If God's nature and character is goodness and mercy, then doesn't that mean that people should experience goodness and mercy when they encounter us? And so we should be leaving a footprint. And I think what happens is, I think sometimes Christians leave footprints, but it's because we're like leaving footprints of condemnation and not grace and goodness and mercy. And so we need to make sure that we're leaving the right footprints everywhere we go. And so, you know, just some things I thought about. Do I leave behind peace in the lives in which I encounter, or do I leave behind turmoil? Do I leave behind forgiveness, or do I leave behind bitterness? Do I leave behind sadness, or do I leave behind joy? Do I leave people discouraged, or do I leave people encouraged? And this is what God wants to do. He wants to give Himself to you so you can more joyfully and freely give yourself and His love to others. Look, having been served by God, He sets us free to serve Him and others. Having received His continual goodness and mercy, we are to then extend goodness and mercy to people around us. So here's a good practical way for you to measure whether or not you truly appreciate God's goodness and mercy. This is just a good way, you think about it, to measure whether or not you feel like you're really truly appreciating His goodness and mercy on you. Do you extend goodness and mercy to others? The extent at which we give God's goodness and mercy to others reveals a lot about what we truly think about the goodness and mercy that we've received. And so people who know firsthand about the goodness and mercy of God in their own lives will be warm and affectionate with goodness and mercy to others. That's naturally going to flow out. It's naturally going to flow out of the life of a believer. All right? So he goes on. He says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David lifts his eyes beyond this life. You want to know what your future holds? You can't say you don't know what your future holds. You know that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. That's what your future holds, right? You want to know what else your future holds? You will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Amen. Let that just settle in your heart. Let that settle in your heart that we start in green pastures, but then He ends in this eternal glory. So the Good Shepherd who guides us in this life will one day welcome us home forever. The Good Shepherd who guides us through this life will one day welcome us home forever. That's what our future looks like. And so Christianity It is help for today, because the truth is that God's presence is with us, that His Spirit lives in us, that we experience His presence in our lives as children of God, but not fully the way we will when we step from this life to the next, right? And so Christianity is not only about help for today, but it includes hope for eternity. And so what is the end of our journey? What is it? Is the end of our journey heaven? No, it's God Himself. That's the end of our journey. And so when He's talking about the house of the Lord, He's not talking about a place. Understand this. He's not talking about going to the church house. He's not talking about having dinner in the hub. That's not what He's talking about. See, when He's talking about the house of the Lord, He's equating God's presence to there. And so it's not talking, He's not talking about a place. He's talking about a person. So I will dwell with the Lord all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And so our greatest reward is not heaven's streets, but God's presence. But God's presence. Here and now and for all eternity. God's salvation is not a temporary salvation. It's not this short-term relationship with Him. It's an eternal, a permanent relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. There's no expiration date on grace. It's eternal. Here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about how good your life is with Christ right now. Now, maybe you've been walking with God for 6 months. Maybe you've been walking with God for 6 years. Maybe you've been walking with God for 60 years. But I just want you to stop and think about what the goodness of the life that you've been given in Christ, that you're living right now, as you're shepherded by Him. I got a text this week from a friend of mine, and he texted me and he said this, and it made me smile. I chuckled to myself. Said, when you get a revelation on a walk and you just got to stop and sit for a minute. He said, dang it, man. So humbling. You know what that is? That is somebody who's walking with God and you get overwhelmed with His goodness. And you get overwhelmed with His mercy. And you just have to stop. Like, you can't just keep, like, there's just this moment. You have to stop and reflect on what it is that you see God doing, or you've seen God do, or you're overwhelmed with the way He's speaking, or the way, like, we experience life with Christ, and it is so rich, and it is so full, and it so doesn't compare to what awaits. Like, there's something even greater, and there's something so humbling about it. And we, as God's people, should get overwhelmed with the goodness of God. But here's the reality. Here's the truth. As good as life is here with Jesus as your good shepherd, if you belong to Christ, your best days are ahead of you. And walking with Christ is good. It is unbelievable. It is overwhelming. There's these moments where you see it and you are overwhelmed with His goodness. But as Christians, our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. The good shepherd loves his sheep. Stop and just think about this for just a minute. He delights in you. Does that not blow your mind? We need to stop for just a minute. We're on a walk. We just need to stop for just a minute. Jesus delights in you. How? Why? Well, how is that even possible? He doesn't shepherd you out of obligation. He loves you. How do I know He loves you? Because in John 10, He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. That is the ultimate expression of love. He delights in you. He delights in laying down His life. Nobody took His life from Him. He laid His life down. That's what He did. And there's this love and devotion on our shepherd's part. There's this bond between shepherd and sheep. Like, it's just, it is mind-boggling. The more I just think about this, like, the pastors were talking this week. We don't know how you feel about this series, Psalm 23, but it has been so good for your pastors. It has been so good for your pastors. It has been so refreshing for us. God has just encouraged us in so many ways. It has been so wonderful for us. But, like, there's this... Jesus would never think about parting with his sheep. He would never think about parting with his sheep. In 1 John 4:19, he says, we love because he first loved us. And so we get this picture and this image of the way Christ has loved us. And how could we not love him in return? Amen. How could we not follow our shepherd wherever it is that he leads us? That's what sheep should naturally do when we're cared for the way in which we're cared for by Christ. When our hearts are awakened, and our hearts have to be awakened, but when our hearts are awakened to the goodness and the mercy of God, when they're awakened to this love that we can experience in Christ, there's no going back. We are radically changed by this shepherd. And look, I would say, put stars all around this next blank on your handout. Because this is what he's saying. Here's a sheep so deeply satisfied and at home with its shepherd that there isn't a shred of desire for change. This is a sheep that is so satisfied, at home, fulfilled in his relationship with the good shepherd. I just want to stay here all the days of my life. That's what he's saying. I want to dwell in the presence of my shepherd for all eternity. That's what I want. That's what I long for. To walk closer with him and to experience more and more of him. Isn't that what we want? I mean, in this life, but also isn't that what we long for in the life to come? Like, isn't it... Isn't that what we long for? We want to walk closer with God. And the closer we get, it's like, man. So in Psalm 34:8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the man who takes refuge. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Think about the greatest thing you've ever eaten in your entire life. Whatever it is. Did you not want more of it? Whatever it was, I will make myself sick. You put something spectacular in front of me, and I will eat until there's none left. Just ask my wife. Literally. And then I'll eat hers. Amen. I'll eat mine, I'll eat hers. And when I'm done, you know what I want? More. I want more. And that's what he's saying. He's like, look, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the more we taste, the more we long for, the more we're satisfied, the more we want, the hungrier we are in this life and in the next. Here's what this tells me. For somebody who doesn't long for heaven, you know what that tells me? You ain't tasted. Because I'm just telling you. Now, I'm not saying you should be like, I want to die today. But it wouldn't be so bad. Let's just be honest. But if there's not something in you, and the longer you walk with God, the more this fleshes itself out. But if there's no desire, see, people who think, man, heaven's going to be boring, you haven't tasted and seen. I mean, you may go to church. You may know some things about God. You may have some knowledge, some information. But if you taste and see, man, I want some more of that, and I long for more, and want for more, and I'm going to pursue him with greater zeal. I'm going to pursue him here, and I'm going to long for the day, that there is a day that I will dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life, for all eternity. You know what your future holds? That. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And that truth and that reality, that compels us to trust him even more, to live for the good shepherd here, to cause my heart to long for him for all of eternity. What a way to end this psalm. He began with the Lord is my shepherd. He ends with I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd who, just a few things as we wrap up. The shepherd who feeds today will keep you tomorrow. The shepherd who walks with you in the valley will safely bring you home. The shepherd who has shown you mercy in this life will surround you for all eternity with his goodness and his mercy. And so the question isn't, is the Lord faithful? The question is, are we trusting him? Are we trusting him? Are we trusting his goodness and his mercy? I feel like there's some that are trying to carry around burdens that aren't ours to carry. We're worried about things that aren't our business to be worrying about. You know whose business they are to be? You know, the shepherd's really, really, really good at being a shepherd. And he does things that we can't do. And so oftentimes we're trying to carry things that the shepherd never asked us to carry or expects for us to carry. He's really good at it. And so we're scurrying around wondering, where are we going to eat? What are we going to get? Where are we going to get food? Where are we going to? Shepherd's like, I will lead you to green pastures. I'll lead you. Well, what about a wolf? I hear wolves howling. I know there's wolves out there. I'm fully aware. Under control. Well, how are we going to get through this valley? Do you see? But we start worrying about all these things that we don't have any business worrying about. We worry about over things that are held in God's hands, that are ultimately held in his hands. And I also would say this, is that I feel like some of us are chasing satisfaction everywhere other than the presence of God. Just constantly chasing and pursuing and chasing and pursuing instead of just looking to the Lord, his presence in our life, being content and satisfied with him. There's nothing else that is going to satisfy us the way the Good Shepherd will. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So here's what I want to leave you with. The last blank for this series. What's our walk away? Hopefully it's been extremely encouraging. I set out to memorize Psalm 23, which I've been able to do. I would encourage you to do that as well. Let this psalm settle your heart. When you're unsure about the future, when you're unsure about what's going on around you, when you just need to be reminded of who God is. But what's like one walk away that we can have in our time through this psalm? Here's what I would say. That we should live ever aware of the Good Shepherd's presence in our lives. When we realize that there's a good shepherd leading us. When we're reminded of everything that we've looked at and studied through Psalm 23. When we start to get sideways, we realize, uh-oh, there's a good shepherd right there. And if I run off too far, right? And that those times when we panic, when we bolt, that we know his goodness and his mercy, that they're following us all the days of our lives, that all the things that we know, when we remember that the good shepherd is with us, I think sometimes we often think about the negative side of that. We feel shame when we think about the reality that God is with us at all times. Because again, we think about all the rotten things we do, all the rotten things we say, all the rotten things we think, all those things. And the good shepherd, he understands our limitations, that he shepherds us through them with goodness and mercy all the days of our lives, that he's with us, and that he's going to be growing us and shaping us and molding us, and no matter what comes our way, the good shepherd will forever and always be with us. And there's coming a day when we will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And what a glorious day that will be. And let's just remember this too. You find what you're looking for. If you look to see the good shepherd at work in and around you, you'll see it. But if you look and stare and focus on all the problems and all the difficulties and all the struggle and all the, guess what you'll find? You're going to find them. And you can choose to focus on one or the other, but I would say focus on the good shepherd who is with you. And in that, that will provide a sense of security and serenity and peace. And what a journey it's been, right? I mean, just stop and think about Psalm 23 in its whole. What a journey. He's taken us through green pastures. He's brought us by still waters. He's taken us up through the mountain passes, and he's taken us down the mountain passes, experienced the storms and forcing us into the foothills and the valleys, and now he's leading us home. And I thought, well, how about we end service a little bit different than what we would typically end service like? So I was just so happened to be driving down the road this week and got my playlist going in my truck, and this song comes on, and I thought, man. So I listened to it again, and then I listened to it again, and I listened to it again, and I said, what a great way to end our time together. So let's listen to it.
I've walked roads that felt endless, where the pain was hard to hide, where the weight of all my failures pulled me down from every side. But even in the shadows, when my hope was running thin, I felt the shepherd's footsteps come walk toward my sin. He didn't ask me for perfection, didn't tell me to be strong. He just picked me up in mercy and showed me I belong. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads my trembling heart beside the quiet waters. Restores my weary soul. Even in the darkest valley, I am never alone, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they bring me home. There's a table set before me in the presence of my fear. And the enemies that have broke me start to tremble when you're near. You pour oil upon my wounds till the hurt begins to fade. And the cup I thought was empty overflows with endless grace. Surely goodness and your mercy have been running after me. Through the storms I tried to outrun, nights I couldn't breathe. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads my trembling heart beside the quiet waters. He restores my weary soul. Even in the dark, I am never alone, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they bring me home. All my life you've carried me, even when I walked away. Goodness followed through my wandering, mercy met me in my shade. Shepherd forever at my side. He leads me through the shadows into everlasting light. Beside the quiet waters, He restores what life stole, and even in my final valley, you will never let me go. For you are with me. My shepherd, my comfort, my home.
Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the way you love us, the way you lead us. God, help us to trust you. Help us to continually come back to this passage of Scripture over and over and over again so we can just be reminded how good you are. God, you're so good. Lord, we long for the day that we get to spend eternity with you. But Lord, in the meantime, we want to walk closer with you here. We want to make you known to the world around us. We want people to experience goodness and mercy because they've come into contact with us so that we can tell them about the good shepherd that we serve. Thank you. We don't deserve you, Lord, but our hearts are filled with gratitude tonight.
Amen.
Our hearts are filled with gratitude. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful night.